Matthew chapter 13, the parable of the sower, verse 3 in Matthew 13. The Bible says, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. Verse 6, And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. Verse 9, Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Again, Lord, I would rather sit and listen to my dad preach tonight. And I thank you again, Lord, for the opportunity to preach. And I don't joke about that. Thank you for the opportunity to share your word. I pray that we would be able to hear what you have for us tonight. And again, bless everything that's said. Again, lead us to a decision tonight. Lead me in my life to a decision, but lead each of us to make right what should be made right. Again, if there's someone here tonight that hasn't received the seed of salvation, that hasn't yet trusted in Christ to get them to heaven, that tonight they'd take the opportunity and do that and settle that tonight. Again, Lord, bless all that goes on. I thank you for this time, and I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This parable of the sower, familiar to us, and many times we use it when it comes to salvation. It is our wish as Christians, and as was preached this morning, it's God's wish. He's not willing that any would perish or any would be caught away and not receive the truth of salvation. And of course, it does apply to that. Also, it applies to the Christian life. There are many truths that we have to learn as Christians that God gives to us. It's not because God doesn't give us the good truth or the good seed, but it's our failure to absorb it or to take it and let it grow in our lives. And Jesus chose many times to talk in parables. He did that for the very reason he tells his disciples in the next few verses in Matthew chapter 13. The disciples come to him and said, Why speakest thou unto them in parable? I'm not reading from another version. I just start reading and paraphrasing. Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it's not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore I speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And Jesus said he was trying to make it practical. He was trying to make it where they could apply it to their lives. He was using something that everybody understood, which was farming and planting seed, waiting for it to grow, sowing, reaping what you sow. And he wanted to make it very simple, because even though he realized they had the capacity to see and the capacity to hear, they didn't necessarily have the ability to understand what he was trying to say. So he told it in a simple way. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see and shall not perceive. I don't know if many of you have had this problem in your life, in whatever your line of work is, or your hobby, or something that you're interested in, something that you've studied, and something that you know very well. Brother Darrell, I assume you know more about motorcycles than I do, so if we were having a conversation about motorcycles, I would probably get this glazed look on my face after about 30 seconds, and you would be able to perceive that I didn't understand anymore what you were talking about. I remember a few weeks back, I think Brother Clint and Brother Ray were talking about planting corn, and once they got past planting corn, which I understand planting corn, they started talking about all the different types of corn and this, you know, short corn, long corn, and dog corn. I don't know, I'm making this stuff up. But I got to the point where I ceased to understand what they were talking about because I hadn't experienced it yet. And Jesus wanted the people to understand something that they hadn't yet experienced. The same thing can be true for Christians today. I would wish that everybody could understand what I have perceived as a Christian, and there are many in the room. You know, Helen talked about listening to a great preacher that I can't listen to today, but she was able to experience that. And I wish I could share all of the experiences of everybody in this room and those around the world. I can read their books, I can learn from them, but I can't share the same experience they have. And many of us, as Christians, we run into people and we say, well, I've got to this point in life, and then I get this glazed look on my face. I get this inability to understand what's being said. And we hear it said many different ways. We say we're losing the spiritual battle. Things are getting worse and worse. Why don't people get it today? Why don't young people get it? Why don't middle-aged people get it? Why don't old people get it? What are they missing? And each of us, we say this to some degree about other Christians or other people that believe in Christ. And why don't they absorb it like that good ground absorbed the seed and brought forth fruit? So tonight I want to talk about that, the reasons we might not be getting it in our own life, the reason we might not be that good seed and good ground and bearing good fruit. And the first one, it's in verse 12. It said, "For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more in abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath." And the first one is just a failure to understand or a failure to listen and hear and get something from that hearing. Poor reading skills, poor listening skills, and poor doing skills. The Bible says in James, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if you be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was." I don't know how each of you learn. I learn by doing things one step at a time. When Aaron was born, my dad took us to Walmart and bought us a very nice crib, and I was responsible for putting that together, and I wasn't allowed to go to sleep that night until the crib was fully assembled. But what I did not do was sit down, you know how it always says at the top, read all instructions before beginning. I never do that because I can't learn that way. I read step one. And then I do step one, and then I read step two, and then I do step two. And the Bible over and over commands us, God gives us so much. God gives us so much in a chunk or in a offering to us to understand, and he waits for us to do that step. God gives us, when you're learning to drive a car, God gives you the ability to learn, and you learn one step at a time. You don't walk into a class or even take a Bible reading schedule for the year and say, well, I don't have time for the rest of the year to read my Bible, but I have the next 2 weeks free, so I'm going to read it all now. God gives you some, and he wants you to take what he gives you and learn and do, and then continue to learn and to continue to do. If you follow a recipe, most of us don't read through the whole recipe and then say, all right, put that away, I'll do it all from memory. No, we do step one, and then we go back and say, did I do step one right? Does that look the way it's supposed to look? And I go back and do step two. So it's a process of learning and doing, learning and doing, learning and doing. In Matthew 7, it says, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father, which is in heaven." And again, I'm not saying it's a work salvation. It's not that you have to have so many things in a row and do things a certain way, but works always is an evidence of the faith that we should have. If we have a faith without works, like it says in James, our faith is dead. A real faith has real works that go along with it. In James 2, it says, "For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So one of the reasons, maybe there's nothing wrong with the seed that God gives us. There's nothing wrong with the word of God. There's nothing wrong with the truth of the gospel or the truth of living the Christian life. But maybe the reason we don't accept it is because we've put off doing too long. We've decided to listen and try to understand without doing the commands that God has given us to do. So that poor skill of reading, of listening, of doing the work that God has given us to do. I know it sounds bad to say poor reading skills, but God did not make a movie or TV show. He didn't make an interactive website. He gave us a book, and he gave us the knowledge to learn how to read that book. So we don't pay attention to what he has for us. He can't give us anything else. The second thing, the seed or the shallowness, the shallow Christians in life don't realize if they fail to use it, they will lose it. And I already read verse 12, but God took away from those that had not used what he'd given them, and he gave it to those that had already had in abundance. Just like the parable of the talents, the ones that used what God gave them, he gave them more. The ones that did not use the small amount that God gave him, he took it away from them. And we fail to realize that today. If we don't do what we're commanded to do and use what we've been given, we will lose it. It's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee that we'll keep it forever. Not salvation, but the blessing of God, the obedience to God. It's not a guarantee we'll have it forever. And an excuse for that is the excuses we make in life or our laziness. In Proverbs 20, verse 4, it says, "The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. In Luke, Jesus told another parable of the wedding, and the man had called a feast, a great supper, and he said, invite these specific people. These men have an invitation. They are welcome at my feast. Go get them. So the servant goes, and they all began to make excuses in Luke chapter 14. And the servant comes back and says, they all had, you know, really good excuses. One guy bought some land. One guy's getting married. They can't make it. So the master says, well, go out in the highways and hedges and compel them to come in. Now, the people in the highways and hedges weren't first on the list. They weren't the, you know, however you want to say it, they didn't get the royal invitation. They got the leftovers. But they came. They used what God gave them, and God blessed them. And in the parable, it says that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. So the guys that made the excuse, if they happened to get done early and come back to the feast, they were not allowed in because somebody else had taken their place. And again, I'm not talking about being saved, going to heaven, but I am talking about living the successful Christian life and getting blessing from God and using what God gives you. And that laziness or making an excuse, if we're only good at making excuses and not good at obeying, we'll get less and less from God. Next thing, a lack of a vision. A godly vision that requires accountability to God each step of the way. And again, I'm back to that process of doing and learning, or learning and doing, and then going back and learning and doing again. In Philippians, Paul says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And what happened in this parable, these people, what they might be, the ones that have not received the good seed that God has given them, they fail to realize that they're lacking in confidence because they don't realize that it's the work of Jesus Christ. It's not their work, it's Christ's work. In Matthew 7, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. The rains came, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And again, he said, those that hear and those that do. You can't separate them. It's those that hear and those that do. And if we have a lack of the vision of what God has for us, we will hear, but we will not hear and do. We'll not do both. So that lack of vision, that excuse that we make, whatever it may be, it might be, well, God hasn't, you know, shone down on me and told me exactly what to do. Well, have you obeyed the commands in the Bible? You know, have you obeyed the part that God has given you to do thus far? A lack of a vision that demands action, not just accountability to God, which is very important, but something that you have to accomplish for God. Paul was given a heavenly vision on the road to Damascus, and he knew that he had been sent by God. Jesus said to him, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So Paul was given a vision from God that demanded he act, that demanded he go out and do something about it. And whatever your excuse may be today, each of us have a vision given to us by God that requires accountability to him, and it requires action. It's not just something we sit and absorb. It's something we learn and go do. A lack of vision that requires accountability to God demands action, and then a lack of vision that requires a growth of faith. We fail to make room for God to work in our lives. And again, each of us have been given different responsibilities, but we have to make room for God to bless in our lives. We have to make room to do the work that he asks us to do. And that means we have to clear some junk out of our lives. That means we have to make a space big enough for the blessing that God wants to give us. Many of us have heard that story of, you know, the man had a dream, he went to heaven, and God said, showed him all the warehouses and all the great store of supply that he had. Obviously, I mean, if God wanted to show that to somebody, he's God. And he said, well, what is all this stuff? And God said, I had this ready, on demand, ready to give to you, but you didn't ask me for it. You didn't make room for it in your life. And again, many of us have many things that we consider important, and they are near and dear to us, but are they more important than God's perfect will for our life? Have we made enough room in our life so God can bless us and give us what he wants us to have so we can accomplish for him what he wants us to accomplish. William Carey said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. It's expecting God to bless, but then doing something that God can bless and being obedient to what he tells us to do. And again, this is a simple story that sometimes we overlook because we're looking for the deeper truth and we don't see the simpleness of what Christ was saying to his disciples. The next one, these seeds lived a life full of distractions, and they made everything unique and everything important and special, and therefore nothing is. You know, if I tell you you're all unique and special and you know, you're all number one, then everybody equals each other, right? If I say everything in my life is as important as everything else in my life, then nothing is important anymore. In Hebrews 12, it says, wherefore, seeing we're also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And again, there is a sin that keeps us from doing what God wants us to do. There's a sin that keeps us from hearing and from reading and listening to what God has for us. But there's also the weights, the other priorities we've made in life, the other things we can't do without, the other things that get in the way of us doing what God wants us to do. And again, these seeds decided to refuse the little that God gave them. So God took away what little they had. Remember, they didn't get very much to start with, but then they decided they weren't going to grow, and they decided that, and God took it away from them, as we already read. And again, we read it, but do we apply it to our own life? Has God put something in your life that you are refusing to use for him? Last one, getting there. These seeds did not realize that God works on his own timetable, and every aspect of life is a process, not an event. All right, when the farmer gets the seed and he throws it in the ground, he has good seed and he has good ground. When he throws the seed in the ground, a supermarket does not pop up. That seed still takes time to grow and to bring forth fruit. In Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a season, to every time, a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. If you ever want to study a phrase in the Bible, read in his season, or in his due season. I pulled a couple of verses out that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn, thy wine, thine oil. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure. The heaven shall give the rain unto thy land in his season. That's both in Deuteronomy and Job. Like a shock of corn cometh in his season. The point is, this fruit or this plant that grew up because of the good soil, everything was right, everything was done in the right order, it still took time. It still took time to grow and to produce 20-fold, 40-fold, and 100-fold of fruit in this man's life. In Psalm, Psalm 1, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There is a chunk of time in there. There is a process that these people have to go through before that fruit is produced. In Proverbs, a man hath joy by the answer of his mouth, and a word spoken in due season, how good it is. There's a proper time and place for things to be said. There's a proper time and place for the seed to learn and do and grow and produce fruit. And the seed that doesn't realize that process, the seed that doesn't realize the time it takes and the attention it takes and the maintenance it takes to get a good harvest, is not planted and grounded in good ground. Again, it didn't just spring up overnight. It was a process. It was the right way of doing it. It took a while, but it took a good while. Remember, Jesus spent 3.5 years in ministry with the disciples. And when he was being crucified, the Bible does say they all forsook him and fled. You know, later they came back. Peter preached Pentecost. John wrote Revelation. And the Bible says they turned the world upside down, but they still went through a season of not producing anything for God. They went through a realization, whatever you want to call it. They went through a process where they had to come and understand and do what God had left them to understand and to do. And again, like I talked about it in Sunday school this morning, all of us have been in the situation where we say, well, I never saw that coming. You know, I never expected that to happen. And the disciples might have been in the same boat when Christ was crucified, even though we say, how could you not see that coming? But it's true in our own life. There is a season in life that God has chosen to bless us. God has chosen to do good on our behalf if we're paying attention, if we are where we're supposed to be when that opportunity comes through, when that opportunity presents itself. If we're in the right place in obedience to God, not just by chance, but in obedience to God, God can bless it and multiply it, not just add to it, but multiply it. They never realized it's more blessed to give than to receive. A seed has to fully commit to produce fruit. Any seed that grows has to give completely of itself in order to produce the fruit and in order for God to make a new life out of it. And Paul said in Acts, I have coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, ye yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And Paul was saying, what do you covet? You know, what do you want out of life? That seed, what do you want to hang on to? I was over at Bill and Ruth Ann's house. He loves birds. And again, that glazed look comes over my face because Bill loves birds as much as he loves Ruth Ann. He loves birds. He can tell you every kind of bird there is, and he has a specific seed that he gives to each bird. And he wanted to explain all this to me, that each bird had a different seed that it liked. There was one kind of bird, he told me, that would land in his bird feeder and would start picking the seeds, and it was only going after one specific seed. So it would take a whole big chunk and throw it this way, and it'd just burrow and burrow and burrow and burrow. And that bird coveted one specific seed that the seed manufacturer only put a certain amount in the bag, and the bird wasted everything else. Because that bird coveted this one seed, it wasted a bunch of food for all the other birds. And this made Bill mad, because Bill loves birds. At the same time Bill's explaining all this to me, I had Aaron with me, and Aaron is exploring their wonderful, they have like a fountain thing. So I look over and Bill's pointing out all the different seeds, and then I look over and Aaron's like waving because he's decided to jump in the middle of the fountain. But in the same way, that bird wastes all those seeds. If we're coveting the wrong things, we'll waste a lot of the blessings that God has for us and just say, well, that's not important at this time in this season. That's not important to me right now. That's not my priority. That's not special to me. And we'll waste it when another bird or another Christian could get something out of it. If we covet earnestly the good gifts that Paul talked about in the last verse in 1 Corinthians 12, right before he started the whole chapter on charity or love in action, you know, the love that provokes us to do good for others. If we covet those gifts, then we won't waste any of that seed that God has given us. We won't waste the good stuff in life just trying to get to a promotion at a job or trying to get to fame with men or appreciation or have people to like us. We won't covet those selfish little things in life. Paul called it silver and gold, apparel, the things that make us stand out. We won't covet those things. We'll covet what is a blessing for others. We'll covet love in action or charity. So instead of coveting the priorities that make us waste so much of the good seed of life, we should covet a walk with God. David said, Thou art my God, early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Once we get our focus on what we should be focused on, we'll covet the things we should covet. We should covet to share burdens with others. In Galatians, Paul told us to bear each other's burdens in the spirit of meekness and fulfill the law of Christ. That's what Christ left us to do, is to get somebody else's burden and help them carry it and to covet those best gifts. In Micah, it said, He hath showed thee, O man, what is good and what doth the Lord require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. And again, what seed are we seeking after? What are we satisfied with? Is it enough to be satisfied with God, with the plan of action that he's given us, with the means that he's given us, if it's only a very little amount at this point? I only have influence over my son pretty much on a regular basis. He's all I have that God has given me right now. Now, do I squander that by seeking other priorities? Do I squander that by spending my time and energy somewhere else? Or do I say, God, this is what you've given me. This is what I will spend my attention on. And each of us have that in our individual lives. We think, and we might be right in thinking, that God could give us more and we could handle more. But God has given us what he's given us, and he wants to see what we're going to do. Are we going to use it for him, or are we going to waste it while we're looking for something better to come along? In Proverbs, it says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." And I don't know about you, but so far in my life, everywhere that my ear has been, the rest of my body has been there too. So hopefully that's true for all of us. I'm not sure Brother Daryl might have lost his, but you know, each of us have, we stay connected to our ears and to our eyes. And in Proverbs, it talks about if your ear is listening to the reproof, we're abiding among the wise. So make sure that the things that you're listening to, the things that you're seeing, all gel. They all go together, and you're all seeking after the same thing, which is instruction, wisdom, and humility, so you can learn, so you can do. And again, that was my main point tonight. You know, that seed that fell on the good ground was the same seed that fell on the stony ground. It was the same type of seed that got picked up and carried off by the birds. But because it was in ground that was ready to absorb, listen, and begin the process of growth, that seed bore fruit. And that can be true for each of us. What are we doing to prepare ourselves for God to bless us? And then what do we do when we get what God has decided to give to us? So I appreciate the chance to speak. I hope something said tonight you can take with you. We're going to have a word of prayer. We're going to have an invitation. I appreciate the song that was sung. If we'll just stop and realize that what God has given us is enough for us, and listen to what God has for us, we'll be a whole lot better off. So let's have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for tonight. Lord, again, Lord, I just pray that something said tonight from your word, even if it's a verse that I read through that I didn't make an emphasis on, but Lord, something that was brought out tonight, that we would listen, that we would absorb and take the little, maybe something we see as insignificant and small, but we take it and use it for your glory so you can give us something more, so everything that you give us can bear fruit as Christians. And again, Lord, for anyone here tonight that hasn't received the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, if they come tonight, we can show them from the Bible. We can show them how to be saved. I pray they do that tonight. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.